are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Anne McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, my friends, it is a pleasure to be with you today, January 16th, 2023. Can you believe it? 2023. And it's the first time I've been with you in the new year. I've been pretty sick, and I'm so happy to be with you live today. That's January 16th, 2023. And let us begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we offer this program up to you. We pray that those who have never heard the program will be moved to turn the dial or to listen in a special way. We pray for those who listen that your lives are touched in a unique way. And we pray for all the special intentions that you carry in your heart today. Please cover the equipment, WTMR, all the people involved with this amazing radio apostolate. We thank you and praise you, Jesus. In your holy name, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Today, we're going to be having a very special guest, Marty Rotella, who he just has some new information, and he will be providing a lot of hope for all of us in a very special way as we start the new year. All of us need the gift of hope. And Marty is on a new mission this year in 2023, and he's preaching about hope in a very special way. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about God having a plan for your life. Yes, God has a plan for your life. He has a specific plan for your life. I don't care what age you are, teenager, 20s, 30s, 80s, 90s, God still has a plan for your life. He created you for a specific purpose, and your job is to figure out what it is. These are some of the subjects we'll be discussing in the coming weeks. See, most people think that God just sits back and says, okay, Joe, Mary, Lou, Dave, okay, just go for it, because he gave us free will, and we can do anything we want. You can do what you want or what he wants. It's your choice, but he has a plan for your life. So before you were ever born, God had a specific will for your life. If you open the book of Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you, a prophet to the nations I appointed you. That's from Jeremiah 1, verse 5. And just as God had a plan for Jeremiah, guess what? He has a plan for you. Yes. And we also see this in the Mary, Mother of God, her life. So before God even formed the Blessed Mother in the womb of her mother, he had a plan for Mary to become the mother of Jesus. Mary didn't have a choice to be born to Anna. Mary did not have to cooperate with that plan. She would have said no, probably. And if she didn't have a choice to say yes or no, then she would say, no, I don't have this in my free will. Excuse me. She had to choose to cooperate with God's plan for her, which she did wholeheartedly when she cried out, Fiat, let it be done to me. The point here, my friends, is that God has a plan for all of us. He had a plan for the Blessed Mother, and he has a plan for you. And so when we look at Jesus Christ, he had a purpose for which he was sent on earth to fulfill. And Jesus knew that purpose. He lived for that. He often spoke about his hour. For instance, saying, my hour has not yet come, from John 2:4. The hour for Jesus was the moment he was to die on the cross. And that's what he was begotten for, and that was his vocation from God the Father. You see, the point of me saying this and preparing for Marty Rotella is that God has a plan. for every one of us. No matter who you are, He has a plan. And every day when you wake up, God has a plan for your day. And this is why discernment is so important, my friends. You have a vocation. No matter how old you are and you're listening, no matter if you're in a nursing home, a prison, a carpool right now, or in the kitchen, or you're a teenager, God has a plan for you. He created it for you. And when we have a listening heart, we follow that plan. So people often ask, so what does God want of me? I've heard this over the years on radio. What does God want of me? Where should I go? What should I do with my life? Well, we know that your life is already planned by God. And it's important for you to have hope in this journey, not despair. And what you need to discover is what He wants you to do. But you don't need to make it up as you go. We hear this with all the self-help books. You know, you're making it up as you go. And you think you know. And so this year we're going to be paying attention to this. What does God want of me? And this is why Marty Rotella will be on today. We're going to be talking about hope and healing and what he's seeing in terms of his ministry on a global scale. Marty, as many of you know, is the founder of Spirit Power. He's written thousands of songs. He's a three-time Grammy nominee. He's an evangelist. He's a speaker. He's a writer, a songwriter. He is a person extraordinaire, but he lives the real life. I remember a couple years ago, he gave a retreat on being real. Thought that was so powerful. We want to be holy at the expense of being authentic. How many of us want to be real at the expense of being authentic of what God wants of us? And it's the beginning of the year. You know, in the first couple weeks of the year, I have been very sick, and so is my husband. And I didn't have a voice, and this is why today is the first day I'm really on. And so I just want to remind everyone who's listening that I, too, am seeking God's plan for my life. I, too, just because I'm on radio or Kathleen's on radio, it doesn't matter. We know that God wants us on radio for the moment, and when he's finished with us, he'll move us on. But no matter how old you are, God has a specific plan for your life, and it is a life of peace, joy, and hope. Yes, it's a life of peace, joy, and hope. You see, three times in John 20, verses 19 to 29, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Peace is the great need of all our hearts. Yes, I can't imagine one person that I've prayed with over all almost 40 years who hasn't said, I just want peace. Yes, we all want peace, but how do we get it? We all want hope, but how do we get it? And this is what Marty will be talking about today. Hope and peace. So look at three things Jesus did to bring peace to the apostles. First, he showed them his wounds. What? Really? Then he said, peace be with you. And then he sent them to serve others. And he breathed the Holy Spirit on them for their life of service. You see, Jesus showed his disciples his wounds to teach all of us that peace comes from him and what he did for us, not from ourselves. Now, we've had a lot of programs on about all the New Age nonsense that's out there. All kinds of New Age self-help techniques, transcendental meditation, living in the now, offer us temporary feelings of peace. They don't last. Jesus greets his disciples and all of us, saying, peace be with you. He gives us the gift of peace to free us from our guilt. He gives us the gift of hope to free us from our guilt. So we must look at him and know that his wounds cover our sins. And we must, my friends, go to Jesus to find forgiveness and peace. We must. So Jesus says to his disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So if you're tuning in now, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, Joe, Dave, Mary, Carl. When we put one hand in Jesus' side and his blood covers us, we have to reach out with the other hand to bring peace to people. To receive mercy, we have to give mercy. To receive peace, hope, and joy, we have to give peace, hope, and joy. And when we become an instrument of peace, hope, and joy, the peace you desire will go through and emanate out to others. But as it passes through us, it gives us a gift of peace. And this is a working of the Holy Spirit that Jesus breathed on his disciples and on us. So, my friends, to receive peace, hope, and joy, we must look to Jesus and surrender.
Marty's on the line.
Do we have Marty on the line?
Yes.
I hear noise in the background. Hoping that we have Marty on the line.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. You're live on the air, Marty. I was just talking about peace, hope, and joy.
Wow, what a topic.
What a topic, awesome. Marty. I mean, one of the things you preached on at a retreat this weekend was peace and hope. And we talked about you teaching our listeners, how in the world can you have hope when you're in despair, when everything seems to be going wrong, when you're suffering anxiety attacks? You know, how in the world do you reach for hope?
Well, that's the problem is we stay in the despair. See, there it is. We're always complaining. We're always like, oh. So when you stay in the past or the despair or the pain and the suffering, if you stay there, the hope can't rise. So this is a powerful statement. Hope is in the now. This is powerful. Now, okay? Because you can't change the past, and the future's not here yet. So if you stay in the now and say, yeah, I have sciatica that's killing me right now, but you want to know something? I'm looking at you, God. Give me some faith. Give me some hope. And the key is that it changes the negative to a positive. It sounds crazy, but really, that's where we have to go. We have to really go to the point of getting out of the despair. Oh, Marty, I say, yeah, it's easy for you. No, it's not easy. But that's where Jesus comes in. That's why he set up the Eucharist. He said, take and eat if you want life. Well, life is the opposite of despair. So there you go. That's a beginning. That's just the beginning, you know.
So, Marty, this past weekend you preached a retreat. God blessed you with a spontaneous retreat in which you were spiritually ready. Tell our listeners somewhat of what you were given in prayer to teach the men about hope and peace and healing. What did you talk about?
Well, first of all, just so you know, this was at Malvern Retreat House in Malvern. And the thing is that that's the theme for the year. The theme is peace, hope, and joy. And it's really awesome because that's what we need. And I know everybody listening there is saying that. Yeah, I need that, yeah. So that's where we started. You know, let's just go to Lamentations, the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. I'm not a big scripture guy to say, you know, the chapters and everything, but this is so powerful, okay? Here we go. The favors of the Lord, his mercies, are renewed each morning. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
The favors of the Lord and the mercies aren't just once in a lifetime. It isn't just maybe once a year. It's every morning. Holy mackerel. And then it says, therefore, I will hope in him. There it is. Just that, those two lines alone from Scripture, those two lines. Let's do it again. the favors of the Lord, his mercies, are renewed each morning.
So wow, that's powerful.
When you get up, there's your hope. The fact you got up, because God's renewing his mercies. He's renewing his favors on you. Wow, there's your hope. So the hope starts with you waking up in the morning. There's your hope. That's the beginning. It's like powerful, like, wow. You know, today I took a walk in the sun, okay? And it's a beautiful day. There's no clouds and the blue sky and it's warm and the sun's beating on me and warming my body as I'm walking. It was beautiful. That's hope, you see? See, you can walk and say, oh, my back hurts. Or you can walk and say, it's too cold. You can complain. But if you look at the positiveness of just the sun alone warming you, giving you its love, its heat, its warmth, that's the hope. There it is. There's hope. So God gives you hope every morning. You got up. If you get outside and you're in the sun, there's more hope. Okay? And when we start looking at it that way, it changes the day for us. Instead of the day is always complaining and staying in negativity, we turn into the positivity of hope. It's really powerful. It really is. Now, you might say, oh, yeah, Marty, easy for you or whatever, you know, you don't know what I'm going through. Listen, God doesn't give us anything that's really too much. I mean, yeah, it might be tough. Yeah, we're going through some. Nobody knows my pain. They say, well, you're always happy. You're always up. No, you don't know my pain. So the key here is that I try to stay in the hope. And I hope that rings a bell for everybody out there.
Well, Marty, I'm thinking of our listeners who are saying, and you know radio enough and you've preached all over the world. Well, that's nice. You get up in the morning and you offer your day to the Lord. It's your plan of offering your day to the Lord. But people become so busy that as their feet hit the ground, they're off and running chores and school and jobs. And, you know, how in the world would you recommend someone keep that hope close to the vest as they go through the routine of daily life?
Well, that's where you have to stop your day somewhere. Everybody, oh, I can't. You don't know how busy I am. Kids and job. And No. I'm sorry. We stop to watch television. We stop to go on our phones and watch silly videos. So there is time. So I'm telling you right now, as a father figure, stop your day. That's it. And when you stop your day, that's when you can touch base with this hope. That's when you can let God in and let the grace of his light fill you. You say, oh, Marty, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't have time for that. I'm telling you, you do. And the key is whether you get up 5 minutes early in the morning, 10 minutes earlier, before you go to bed, when you walk, when you're in a car, you're at a red light. I don't care where you are. Find the places where you can stop. It's really powerful. You know, Jesus already did his part. His obedience is our hope. So if you have a hard time with hope, stop your day and just picture Jesus on the cross. You might have a rosary in your car. Just look at him. Just look at him on the cross and the rosary on your car. You stopped at a red light and say, wow, there's my hope. Because Jesus already did his part. His obedience is our hope. Christ died. He resurrected. Our hope is we'll die and we will resurrect. So when we do that, when we look at Jesus and the cross and say, wow, he died and he resurrected, I will die. I'm in pain right now, but wait a minute. Someday I'm going to die, but I'm going to resurrect too. I'm going to resurrect into the perfectness of God's kingdom. Wow, this is really powerful. So in other words, when people ask me what is hope, I say heaven. Heaven? I don't have heaven right here. I'm on earth. No, you see, heaven is the final hope. It's the final place. So why do you wait? Go right to the end of the story. The end of your story is heaven. So what's your hope? Heaven. Heaven, that's it. What's your hope? Jesus dying on the cross and then resurrecting, because that's what I'm going to do.
Marty, you're on fire today. You're on fire today. I wanted
God
to share with
fire.
You. Pardon me?
God is on fire.
Yeah, God is on fire through you today. Marty Rattella is our special guest today, and we're talking about the gift of hope. If you're discouraged, if you feel down and out, this is the program for you. Stay with us, Marty, three-time Grammy nominee, evangelist, preacher, retreat director, and man extraordinaire. Marty, this past Sunday at Mass, the pastor talked about, well, no, it was an assistant pastor who teaches at a local high school, Catholic high school, and he said to all the parishioners, I want you to pray for all the young people. They have no idea who Jesus is. They know, you know, all the rap songs. They know all the bad stuff. They don't believe Jesus is real. And this is a Catholic high school. They think it's somebody, you know, from long ago. And this is a theology teacher, a priest who's saying, this is so hard to reach young people today to help them understand that Jesus is real. You were a teacher. You teach. You still evangelize across the country. Talk to our listeners who are having a hard time with their teens or their family members who no longer believe that God is real.
Oh, I lost you.
You lost me?
No, idea. What did you say? What was the final question? What was the question?
Talk to our listeners about how teenagers believe that God isn't real. Give parents and grandparents and even teenagers who are listening some hope that God is real. He's not someone from the past. He is real.
Well, to show that God is real, you have to be real. This is important. I was in a prison, the first time I ever went into a prison to give a talk, and this young man came up to me and he pumped his chest and he said, you better be real. So I asked the Holy Spirit in my heart, well, what do I say to that? And I heard these words, tell him you love him. Okay, hey, I love you. He goes, what? You don't even know me. How could you love me? I said, listen, if Jesus was standing here, that's what he would say to you. And I want to be like him. So I love you. He turned to all the other men in the room, there's 100 men in the room, and he said, guys, sit down. This is going to be awesome. This, he is real. Now, he was pointing to me, but what I'm pointing at is Jesus is real. When you read the scripture and you see how Jesus interacted with all the people in the stories and the beautiful stories he told in the parables, everywhere you'll see a real person, like the prodigal father. I call him the prodigal father, who ran to his son. You see? The son came back. Yeah, that's a big part of the story, but the biggest part of the story is the father running to him. So the key here is be real, people. Be Jesus. You know, when Jesus walked the streets, this is not in scripture, but I know what happened, okay? When Jesus walked the streets, the apostles were always ahead of him. They wanted to get to the destination. Jesus couldn't get to the destination. He knows he's going to get there eventually. He had to touch base with every human being that was in front of him on the journey. He would stop, look in their eyes, and say, hi, what's your name? Tell me about yourself. How you feeling? You see, when there was a little child, he would get on his knee and get low. So he wasn't hanging over the child, and he's low, and he's saying, hi, what's your name? Oh, my name is Johnny. Johnny, I'm Jesus. Nice to meet you. See, we got to be real. We got to show Jesus. We got to be Jesus, and the teenagers will know. Now, you might say, oh, Marty, that doesn't work. Let me tell you something. I work with gang members. I go on a basketball court and play basketball, and I never mention God or Jesus. I just be him. And when I be him, everybody's open. Hey, what is it about you? You know, once they start asking, then I can tell them. And if you just be him, if you just be Jesus, wow, watch what happens. I'm telling you, the kids are they're dying for this information because their hearts yearn to learn about God.
Well, you just mentioned you work with gang members. I mean, I'm sure our listeners are thinking, what? You work with gang members and thinking that they're hardened hearts and that they're evil and how God's love reaches through you to them. Not by you preaching, but by how do you reach them? Just by playing basketball or sharing a meal?
Yeah. See, the key is, I really believe this, and we when we preach, I don't even like the word preach, okay? Before, when I was away from God, if you preached to me, I walked away, okay? So I don't think you get people when you start to preach. What you have to do is show the love of Jesus in your actions and words. Once you do that, then they feel loved. They feel like they're accepted. And once you do that, then they say, what is it about you? Or they'll bring something up, and then you can bring in Jesus. You can bring in the Word of God. You can bring in something that will help them, because now you showed them. You showed them you cared. You showed them that you respect them. You showed them that you lifted them. You gave them encouragement. I'm telling you, it works. I've been doing this for 50 years, and I'm telling you, it works. It's unbelievable. So the key is that a lot of people might say, I'm not doing that. Or other people might say, I'm going to preach. Yeah, well, do what you want to do. If you're reaching people, that's great. That's fantastic. But I'm telling you what works. You asked me about gangs. Man, these guys love playing basketball with me, not because I'm so good in basketball. It's because they enjoy the fact that I'm a father figure and I'm lifting them. And I think that's really, really important.
So what's the post-op on this? So you're playing basketball with the gang members, and you are being Jesus by your love. So you leave the court. So do you just leave the court, or is there a post-op on this?
Yeah, you see, the key here is that step by step, day by day, plant the seed, get out of the way. You see, we put too much pressure on ourselves that we're going to convert that child or that person, or we're gonna be the answer. We're not the answer. We just plant the seed. You got to get out of the way, say a prayer, and ask the Holy Spirit to take over. See, I don't stay with any of the people I interact with. I give them to God. After I do my part, I give them to God. It's out of my hands. That's a powerful way. You can't say, oh, I'm going to see them tomorrow, and I'm going to tell them this, and I'm going to give them this pamphlet, and I'm going to, you know, no. Just do your part. The Holy Spirit will show you if you're supposed to give them a pamphlet later on, or maybe say a prayer with them. Whatever comes after that, he'll show you. But the thing is to just plant the seed and get out of the way. Let the Holy Spirit continue there. That's what I do. You might say, oh, no, and if I see them the next time, hey, I just the same way. I don't jump into God. And I just say, hey, Johnny, how you doing, man? Good to see you again. Hi, Marty, how's it going? Good. Tell me about – and I try to remember something they told me, like maybe something about their brother who was ill, maybe something about their brand-new job, maybe something about their girlfriend. So then when I see them the next time, I say, hey, how's your girlfriend doing? Oh, she's doing good. She just got a job. Tell me more. See? So that you really care about them. That's Jesus. Jesus really cared. When that woman was going to be stoned for adultery, he said, where did they go? That's what he said. He cared about her. And no, they left. They left. Okay. He goes, now go and sin no more. See? Then when she was so felt so at ease that he cared about her, then he can say, go and sin no more. If you jump right out and say, hey, you better stop sinning, you know, what's that? People, what the heck are you talking about? When you say, hey, how you feeling? You okay? Anything I can do for you? And then you say, hey, by the way, it'd be a good idea if you don't do that anymore. Amen.
But you didn't arrive at this at your ripe age without a lot of bumps in the road. I mean, you learned all this through the road of hard knocks, or the school of hard knocks. And you pass this on because you see so many young people suffering. You've been there. You've done that. You've ministered through it. And you yourself have been through the school of hard knocks. And yet the Lord showered his hope and healing on you in a very special way. Tell our listeners, we have a minute to commercial, and then we'll cut back to you, Marty. Just tell our listeners, how many years have you had a conversion in your heart? I've never asked that all the times we've been in the on radio. How many years ago did the Lord touch your heart?
It was 43 years ago.
43 years ago.
Yeah. 43 years ago was when he touched my heart. I was 25 years old, and that was it. Boom, 24. And from there on, it's just been a journey with him every day. That's it. Love it. I love this journey.
And through your mother's intercession.
My mother's prayers kicked in, yeah. You know, one of the biggest things is that you remember this. There's no gain without pain. Just look at the cross. Jesus on the cross. There's no gain. Heaven doesn't open its doors unless Jesus dies. So there's no gain without pain. So you got it out there, people. I got it. We all got pain. We got pain every day. So you're going to let that defeat you, or you're going to use that for gain? There it is.
Amen. Well, Marty, stay on the line. We're going to cut to a commercial. My friends, when we come back, we'll be with Marty Rotella talking about hope. And my friends, it will be riveting. So stay tuned.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, my friends, welcome back. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, which is heard every Monday at 4 p.m. And today our special guest is Marty Rotella, three-time Grammy nominee. He is a preacher, a teacher, and he's written, I think, over a couple thousand songs at this point. And I am so blessed to have him on the air today. We're talking about hope. Is it possible, my friends, to have hope when you turn on the news, when you're seeing what's happening in your family, your grandchildren don't go to church, you're sick, and you feel like you just can't put your feet on the ground another day? So Marty is talking today about a topic that is very close and dear to his heart, as well as his music. We'll be talking about that in a moment. But welcome back, Marty. We're so happy to have you with us today.
Oh, hey, Ann. Hi, everybody. Yeah, let's continue. Love it.
So, Marty, you know, you had mentioned to me over a year ago on the topic that you had written something about hope. Update our listeners about what's happening with your music, because your music, as in Psalm 150, ministers to so many people. Talk about the hope that your music provides.
Well, during the pandemic, when I sat on my couch and everything was canceled, so I said to Jesus, well, what's next? And he wrote this song through me called You Bring Me Hope. When he wrote the song through me, I realized that he wants me to bring hope to the world. I'll just sing very quickly the refrain because you can hear it and you'll understand why what he's trying to tell us. You bring me hope. You lift my fear, you never leave, you're always near. Hope, you bring me hope, hope, you bring me hope. Now, you is a pronoun. Now, what are we talking about with you? Of course, we're talking about God. We're talking about Jesus. You bring me hope. You lift my fear. You never leave, you're always near. See, okay? But there's more to it. as he was teaching me as I was writing the song. You see, other people bring us hope. See, and you bring me hope. I'm hopefully giving you hope. See, so we have to find people who are bringing us hope and thank them. Say, oh, you bring me hope. Thank you, John. Thank you, Susie. You bring me hope. You lift my fear. You never leave. You're always near. And that's the type of, we have to also do that too. We have to bring the hope. Well, what do I do, Marty? Well, lift people's fears. Don't leave them. Be near. Be there for them. See? See, I got this question. Do you want hope? Let's say Jesus is standing right next to you, and he looks at you, and he asks you four words. Do you want hope? And then would everybody say, yeah. Then serve. There it is. If you want hope, serve. You see, oh, I want hope. Me. Everything's me. Entitlement and selfishness. No. If you want hope, do you want it? Yeah, I want it. Then serve. It's so powerful. It's so ridiculously powerful, you know.
And simple.
And the more you look at it, you say, "Wow." And then there's another question. Well, Marty, can I ask Jesus this question? What's in it for me if I serve? Oh, there it is. So, do you want hope? Yeah. Then serve. Well, what's in it for me? Peace. Whoa, wow. You see? Okay. Let's go back now. So, do you want hope? Yes. Then serve. But what's in it for me, Jesus? Peace. Wow.
It's very simple, Marty. It's not that complicated. You know, people think they have to earn the peace, earn the hope. It's a free gift that the Lord gives us today.
Yes. Yes. Let me give you a quick story. When I was teaching in public school, I was teaching seventh grade in the inner city, and this was many years ago, and it was during the Gulf War, if you remember the Gulf War. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't pray in school at that time, and our principal walked in and he said, okay, the governor has asked everybody to pray that the war ends. And we chuckled as he left the room because we were praying as it was anyway. Then he came back months later. He says, okay, stop praying. The war is over. So the young girl raises a hand, a little girl, and she says, sir, I have a question. He goes, yes. She says, don't you think it would be wiser to pray that the war doesn't begin than to wait for the war to begin and we pray that it ends? He goes, whatever, and he walks out. But I want you to look at the unbelievable wisdom of that question. Should we pray that war doesn't start? Should we pray that COVID doesn't come back? Should we pray or do we wait for catastrophes and things and then we pray that it ends? A perfect example of that was the NFL a week or two ago, when the young man went down and he died on the field and they got him back. Everybody was praying. Why do we wait to pray when something happens? We pray so it doesn't. We bring God in all the time and then watch the difference. That's powerful. That is a really powerful thing. So what can I do to bring peace and healing and hope to the world? Prayer. Doesn't mean you have to be a fanatic and go on the streets and look like the crazy person. No. It means prayer. Anytime, any way, anyhow. Wow. You think the world will change, Marty? I don't know. I'll ask you. Do you think it will?
Look at the impact of that young athlete and people, all the players and the people praying around the world. The prayer, they were praying for hope. They had hope. And the despair and the fear was dispelled by the power of prayer and his love for his teammates and those that prayed for him. What a powerful image. What a powerful story to pass down to all of our loved ones that prayer, my friends, works. Prayer works. You know, what would be What would be the reaction if he didn't make it and everyone was praying? Marty, what would you say to your group of gang members or the people in the prison? What if everyone prayed and he didn't make it? What would be your response to them?
Well, you see, the prayer, you can't say, I want him saved, I want him healthy, I want him. That's not a prayer. The prayer is, God, your will. You know best. If God needs him and wants him with him, he knows best. He created us. So the prayer shouldn't be, well, I want this to happen. I want that to happen. I would love this to happen. Oh, it didn't happen? I don't believe in God. I'm not crazy. No, he said, God, here's my prayer. Help that man however you see fit. You know, I'm going to give it to you. And that goes with everything. That's not an easy thing to do because we're human. We have emotions. We have psychological things. We have physical, you know. But the thing is to relinquish it to God. I say, God, I give it to you. I'm praying for him. I give it to you. And I don't, whatever the answer is, that's the answer. And then I move on. Remember, if we stay there and say, oh, I should have prayed harder, or I should have done this, or there's no God, you know, that's crazy. Move on. Go to the next person. Go to the next prayer. Do the next thing. It's a waste of time to stay in the past. Such a waste of time. Let me just give you a quote from the Bible. This is unbelievable. Blessed are the peacemakers. Well, why are you saying that, Marty? Because I said before, do you want hope? Then serve. So what does that mean, serve? Be a peacemaker. Pray. What is a peacemaker? A peacemaker is somebody who loves each and every person. Now, that's a tough one. And even me, an Italian-American from Jersey, to love every person? No, that's a tough one. Cut me off on a highway, and I don't know how much I love you. You know what I'm saying? So the key here is, what is a peacemaker? To love each and every person that comes your way. Desiring, it's even further than that, desiring everyone's eternal salvation. I desire every person that was ever created to be in heaven. That's what Jesus is desiring. That's what God wants. It's up to us to decide that. But you see, that's my, if you look at some of the great saints, Mother Teresa, okay? If you look at St. Therese Little Flower, they want every soul in heaven. That's what they want. That's what I want. I pray every day. I want every soul. I think of the thief that was next to Jesus. This guy was a bad dude. The people saying, oh, he's bad. He's going to hell, you know, because he's going to die. He's bad. No, but then he says to Jesus, please, you know, forgive me. You know, yes, you will be with me. See, I want everybody in heaven. And to think that guy made it to heaven and he was like the worst thief, a hard criminal in his town, in his area. Wow, I want everybody in heaven. I don't want anybody suffering. That's being a peacemaker. That is why we hope. Do you want hope? Then serve. Be a peacemaker and pray.
No, it's quite profound what you're saying, and I'm sure we have listeners who are just getting in their cars from work or tuning in from home. No, I'm thinking of the folks who've been listening and think that they accidentally came across this program today with you, and I'm praying and hoping that your message rings a bell in the hearts of all the people who are listening, especially those who are downtrodden today. You know, I'm thinking of all the listeners who call in to Kathleen on Tuesdays and to the radio network asking for prayers, and they're already in the pits of being downtrodden. Speak to them today, Marty. I mean, you have given some beautiful examples. Speak to the person right now who's tuning in, who lost hope years ago and feels downtrodden and lost and abandoned by God.
Okay. One word, love. That's it. That's the one word. Now, in the word love, there's many, many loves all throughout the earth and all throughout history. We all know it. Love for a husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, love for your family, your neighbors, love for pizza, whatever, love. Okay, now, there's only one unconditional love, which our heart yearns for, and that's Jesus. That's God. We yearn for him. He created us. He lives inside of our heart. He's the soul. His commandments are written on our heart. So we yearn. We don't know that we're yearning for him, but once you realize I'm yearning for him, yeah. So you'll stop the sex and the drugs and the alcohol and everything else because now you yearn for the right thing. Now, if you look at Jesus on the cross, that's unconditional love. There is no other unconditional love in the history of the world. That's it. Oh, no, I unconditionally love my children. No. I unconditionally love at my job. No, we can't. So the only unconditional love is Jesus. So let's go. What brings us hope? Jesus, because that's unconditional love. Jesus is the divine physician. He heals. He brings hope. He is the answer. Stop looking everywhere else. That's it. Now you might say, well, I don't believe in Jesus. Well, look, all I can say is I didn't believe for 10 years. And all of a sudden I read the four Gospels. And when I read it, and I read it as a book, but man, I fell in love with this guy because this guy was definitely unconditional love. I was in the gymnasium one day playing basketball. A young Muslim boy, 22-year-old, is playing against me. And he says to me, he says, what is it about you? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, there's something about you. I said, that's nice. I said, he goes, I have to tell you something. I said, what? He says, I'm a Muslim. I said, I know. He goes, but I'm a Muslim who believes in Jesus Christ. I said, that's powerful. I said, tell me why. Don't let people say something. You know, ask them why. He says, well, he says, Jesus was the only man that walked the earth and showed unconditional love. I said, bingo. I said, but what about your prophet Muhammad? He said, no, he didn't show unconditional love. He killed people. I said, okay. He goes, so what is it about you? I said, well, you just said it. It's Jesus. He's my whole life. Tell me about yourself. I said, I'm a Catholic Christian. He goes, can you teach me about him? Sure. We sat down at the court for an hour on a Sunday afternoon, and I taught him about Jesus, who he was looking at, who he knew was unconditional love. He knew the answer. You see? So what is hope? Jesus. It's not me. It's not a priest, not the Pope. It's not Catholicism. It's not anything. It's Jesus. It's it. Now people say, I think Jesus fanatics and all that stuff. That drives me crazy. I said, look, that's a person. That's a person that you don't like. That's something they say you don't like. You don't like maybe their attitude. Maybe you don't like the way they sing. Maybe you don't like their lectures and sermons. That's a person. We're talking about Jesus. Would you leave Jesus because of somebody else? You know, people say to me, Marty, you sing pretty nice, but in my church, there's horrible singers, so I left the church. I said, you left? You left Jesus because somebody doesn't sing well? Doesn't make sense. Amen.
Amen. Again, you're listening to Marty Rotella on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone. Marty, excuse me as I clear my throat again. Marty, sure. I love your stories, and you are so impactful for people who are downtrodden, and I've said this two or three times during this program. And I'm thinking of some of our listeners who pray, and they're praying for a miracle, or they're praying out of great faith for someone to be healed. And they've lost hope. They say, I've been praying for years and nothing happened. You know, what would you say to that person who's listening today? Maybe a grandmom who wants her grandchild back to church, or her grandchildren haven't been baptized. Talk to the person who is a fervent prayer intercessor and the prayers haven't been answered. How do they have hope?
Well, you know me, Ann. I'm a big advocate for the rosary. I'm a big advocate for mass, you know, and that's me, okay? And that's good. That's big and powerful stuff. What I think is even more powerful than that is a simple prayer. For instance, my mother said every night from when I was 14 to 24 before my conversion, that was 10 years, that I was in, you know, bars and discotheques and singing at parties and everything else, she prayed every night this prayer. Ready? Four words. Jesus, protect my son. That was it. That was it. That's how simple it was. So I love all the big prayers. I love the time, and I love, you know, adoration, and I love, you know, all that. It's awesome, good. It's all good. But it's so simple, and it's something you can do constantly. When somebody says to me, I just had a call right before I went on the air here, and they were talking about their health. Somebody from California, a friend of mine, and they said, can you pray for me? I said, you got it. I'm doing it right now. You see, don't waste time. And I don't have to pray out loud. I'm praying in my heart as I'm talking to them on the phone. Can you say a prayer for me? I'm doing it right now as we're talking. And then I think of my mother's prayer, Jesus, protect my son. So I just say, Jesus, heal my friend. There it is. Four words. It's so powerful. And it takes a lot of pressure off of, oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. Stop. Do it right there in your heart. And then move on. Remember, when you stay with, oh, maybe I didn't do it right. Maybe I should do this. You hang up with them and say, oh, I should have said this. I got to send it. No, don't do that. You did it. Move on. Because God brings you new people every minute. There's somebody new, somebody else calling you, somebody new coming, somebody you meet on the streets. My favorite place is the elevator. I think I told you this. I love the elevator because I have, once the door's closed, I have a captive audience. And I can talk to you and ask you how you're doing and love you.
No, you did not tell me about the elevator.
I love the elevator. I love when the door's closed and somebody's on there because they can't get out. So, and I never mention God. I just say, hi, how you doing? I'm Marty. How you doing? I'm from New Jersey. Oh, I'm Susie from North Carolina. Nice to meet you. Hi, tell me about yourself. You know, they can't get out. And eventually it can get to a very good talk. Like, well, I'm not feeling too good. No, really? Is there anything I can do for you? She goes, well, I said, I say prayer for you. You know, and then you can do something. They can't get out. You know, it's captive audience. I love the elevator.
It's the first time I've heard that. The elevator talk.
The elevator.
That's funny because,
well, you know, it's funny you say elevator. Let's go to the word escalator. Everybody knows about an escalator. Now,
right.
An escalator has to bring you to the next floor, has to bring you up or down. But let's say we're going up, right? Okay? All you have to do is get on. The escalator does all the work. And then you're at the next level. That's God. That's prayer. You just got to get on. Say the prayer. Jesus, protect my son. Jesus, help this person who's sick. You just got on, and then Jesus takes it. God takes it to the next level. See? Powerful. Escalators are powerful.
I just hear a new song about escalators and elevators coming this year. Right, Marty?
Hey, they rhyme, so that's going to be easy to put in the song.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, Marty, I love you dearly, and I'm so happy. We were going to try to be in the studio together today, but due to circumstances, we couldn't. Share with our listeners, you know, what's happening, hopeful happenings with your music besides the one that you shared with us earlier. Is there a new CD coming out, or what's happening?
Well, we're going to do a CD called You Bring Me Hope. That's in the future. But we're recording all the songs now, and we're recording them, and we're getting them, you know, prepared. And the topic is You Bring Me Hope. We just did a song called Jesus Hidden for the Eucharistic Revival, and I'm sending it Thursday out to the headquarters. I think it's either in Illinois or Indianapolis to be a theme song or to be part of the big convocation or whatever that's called, a conference in a 2 or 3 years from now. So we're working very hard with stuff like that. What I've noticed, I was on YouTube, and I noticed if you put my name on YouTube, this is really powerful, a lot of videos come up. So you can see me talking and giving talks and singing. Also, all my songs, there's one that has all my songs. You can listen to almost every song that's recorded, not every song, but almost a lot of them, like 153 songs are there. So you can actually listen to my music. So I recommend people to go there. Go to YouTube, put my name in there, and start looking at what's there. It's pretty awesome. So,
what is your website, Marty, that people can look at?
The website is spiritpowermusic.org. real simple, spiritpowermusic.org. Once you go there, you can see anything and everything that we're doing. Yeah.
Well, again, our guest today is Marty Rotella, 3-time Grammy nominee, evangelist, preacher, motivational speaker, and retreat director, and he travels all over the United States. And where are you off to next, Marty? What state are you off to?
Well, I'm doing a lot at Malvern in, outside of Philadelphia, to Malvern, Pennsylvania. I'm doing a lot there. But I am in New Mexico next month for a week. I'm in San Antonio, Texas the following month. And then I'm down in Palm Coast, Florida in May. So there's a lot of flying and a lot of moving around. Yeah, yeah.
Well, let us pray together, Marty, for all the people who are listening. Would you like to just lead a short prayer?
Sure, sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. By the way, that's the greatest prayer you can ever say right there, all right, the Holy Trinity. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, just repeat after me out there, people. Jesus, grant me fresh hope. Wow, think of that. Jesus, grant me fresh hope, the fresh hope of the Holy Spirit. Give it to me at the beginning of every day. As my eyes open, grant me fresh hope of the Holy Spirit. So when I begin the day, I can be you in the world every second. And then when I put my head back on that pillow at night, I can sleep at peace. And I thank you because you're an awesome God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Marty, for being with us today. We'll be together again in the coming weeks, and I thank you for taking time to share your giftedness with our listeners.
Thanks, Ann. Goodbye, everybody. I love you all. Take care. Bye.
God bless you. Again, our guest today was Marty Rotella. He is a 3-time Grammy nominee. He's a preacher, evangelist, retreat director, and he's just an extraordinary person who loves to minister in the Lord's name from the streets of California, gang-related places, prisons, parishes, and it's just amazing how the Lord has used him and his brokenness and his wholeness. And we thank him for sharing his giftedness with all of us. My friends, remember that it's the beginning of the year. Tomorrow, Kathleen McCarthy will be on live on Facebook from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. You can listen through Facebook, or you can listen through WTMR 800 AM on the dial. So we highly encourage you to place your prayer petitions. And I just want to leave you with a little bit of insight in terms of a way to pray. From Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Because there's never a moment, my friend, in your whole life where you're alone. Never. You and Jesus become one when you pray. And that's the point of this broadcast. Tell God you are sorry. Go through your sins and repent of them. Invite Jesus to be your Savior. Tell God you surrender. Surrender your heart to Jesus and invite him to take control of your life. Allow him to be Lord of your life. And say to God, hold me. Ask Jesus to hold me, to hold you. Be still and listen to him. Just let him love you. And the third action is the most important part of prayer, my friends. God wants to embrace you. So you have to become a little boy or girl, no matter how old you are at this moment. You look at God and say, Jesus, hold me. Feel Christ put his arms around you, my friends. Take your head and place it on his chest, as John did at the Last Supper. Listen to his heartbeat. For every time his heart beats, he says, I love you. I love you. I love you. Don't say a word. Be still and know that he is God. Be still and let God love you for the next few moments. And listen to what he says. I want you to know that your Father, my Father, is who I came to reveal to you. So next week, we'll be live again. My friends, I pray that Our Lady wrap her mantle around you and that the Lord blesses you in a profound way. And remember to keep this apostolate in your prayer. God bless you.